Now back to the KNBR Morning Show live from Super Bowl 48's Radio Row in the Big Apple. Presented by Dropcam, the high-def Wi-Fi video monitoring camera for your home or business on the sports leader.
Holly Mack, it's not just that Colin Kaepernick's been sitting here chatting with the Murph and Mack Show. It's that the dude is dialed and styled with his New York fashion.
Well, what are you surprised, man? Look at this guy. He's like kind of going like gray on gray on gray, and he looks really cool.
You're a long way from Turlock, kid, huh?
Yeah.
How you doing? Welcome to the Murph and Mack Show.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
It's good to see you, man. You look like you're in a good place. You look relaxed.
Yeah, I'm good. This is, once the season ends, I can relax a little bit, talk a little bit more to the media.
Right. There's like a little brightness to his eyes right now. I like it.
I want to say, because he does, he's looking like very New York chic and everything, just to let our listeners back in the Bay Area know. So you're going like gray blazer, gray turtleneck, gray scarf. And Murph was making fun of me for wearing my scarf, so now I got, like, total validation, man. I got Colin Kaepernick rolling in here wearing a scarf, so you and I were dialed in on the scarf movement.
Of course.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is you just have to walk in with confidence. That's what pulls it off.
Oh, see, that's where I don't, that's it. Can you give me some lessons? That's my question.
Seriously.
You just got to build it up in your mind.
Okay.
Walk in like you're the man.
To be the man, you got to think you're the man, right?
And wear a scarf like the man. Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. Hey, let's pick up on that thread you opened with. You said, the season's over, I can talk to the media a little more relaxed now. And we had you on last summer, and you were engaging and chatty and intelligent, all the stuff that people who've known you all your life know you've been like. And then the season's on, and you're quieter. Your answers are shorter.
You go into the mode.
Can you explain what that is all about, what the strategy is of being shorter during the season and looser in the offseason?
To me, during the season, the media is trying to find things to pick about, whether it's your team or you, or they're looking for things that they can put out there that might be game plan specific or things you're looking at by the defense. And to me, the shorter I can be, the less information I give out, the more advantageous it is to our team.
Is that something that Jim Harbaugh has talked to you about and maybe coached you up on?
It's something we talk about as a team, as far as not giving information out and not trying to give any details of what we're doing. And I think it's something that ultimately is going to help our team.
Okay, so when you see guys like Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson filling up notebooks, are you studying their words? Like, maybe I could go that route, and where you learn the art of talking for a long time and saying nothing.
I have that art too, but I figure if I can say the same thing in 7 words instead of 47, I'm going to do it.
In some ways, you're doing the media a favor. I'm not going to BS you for 50 words. I'll just give it to you in 5.
Exactly. I'm trying to save their time and mine.
There you go. That's cool.
That's good, Colin. Okay, well, you said before the segment started, we could just fire away, right?
Fire away.
So, first and foremost, let's talk about the last time we saw you on the field, NFC Championship. When I say that, what comes to your mind right now? What do you think about when you think about that game?
Missed opportunities. Is especially reflecting back on the last play. For me, if I throw that football a foot farther, we're playing this week. And that's something that's going to be with me this offseason.
Okay, and was it a foot shorter than you wanted because your airspace was crowded a little bit by Cliff Avril?
No, to me it was something that I thought I'd put enough on it where it would drop over his head and give Crab a chance. And looking back, it's always easier to look back and say I should have put a little bit more on it, but at that point in time, I thought I had thrown a good ball.
And you still felt like, I mean, I guess this is human nature to do this. You look back on something and say, like, if I could do it again, I would have done, you know, such and such differently. Are there any feelings just about that final sequence of plays getting down to that point that if you could, you would do over again, or would you do it the same way again?
No, I think I would do it the same way again. We had moved down the field. We got a one-on-one matchup backside on the last play, and, I mean, I'm going to take Crabtree every chance I get on a one-on-one matchup.
Even against Richard Sherman, so some people would say, you got to respect Richard Sherman, go elsewhere. But you said, no, I'm going at him. Now, was that something you would second-guess?
No, I wouldn't second-guess that at all. I don't play this game to play with fear of a player or another team or anyone. To me, I saw the matchup. I liked it. I'm going to take my chance.
Okay, and it worked out. I mean, game of inches, right? I mean, some people said in a game like that, it was a game between two great teams. It came down to one play. And really, there's no blame or goats. In some ways, it's just one team had to win, one team had to lose. Have you thought about it that way?
I don't ever think about things that way unless I'm the winning side.
All right, there you go. That's what made him. And by the way, Colin Kaepernick is joining the Murph and Mac show here live on Radio Row in New York City. It's great to see him. He seems very relaxed right now. It's all good. Paulie Mac?
Well, Colin, I mean, one thing, you were talking about the NFC Championship a little bit, but just looking back on the season and the season you had and then the postseason you had, a lot of fans call our show and email our show and were waiting and wondering why you weren't using your legs in the regular season the way we saw you start using them immediately in the postseason. Bam, Green Bay, you're all over the field. And then we saw it in all the other games as well. So is there anything to that, or can you explain that as to why you seem to run less during the regular season than you do in the postseason?
Well, some of it's game plan specific, as far as you have 16 weeks during the regular season that you might not want to take all those hits. There's a lot of chance for injury, a lot of chance that you could lose your starting quarterback. So it's something that our offensive coordinators talked to me about. A lot of our coaches have talked about, as far as make sure you protect yourself. And when we give you those opportunities to run, if you can get out of bounds, get out of bounds. If not, get down.
Yep.
And you get to the postseason, it's one and done if you're not winning. So we're going to do everything we can to try to win those games.
Okay, so there's a little bit to that there, Paulie. As far as off-the-field stuff, I got to ask about Richard Sherman. I mean, God, it became this national story. Everybody had an opinion. He insulted one of your teammates and your buddy, Michael Crabtree. Did that affect you in any way? Were you upset by that?
I feel like it was a ridiculous statement. I think everyone who saw it knows it was a ridiculous statement. I mean, Crabtree is one of the best receivers in the league, in my opinion. He's done a lot for our team, a lot for this organization, and to me, to have someone try to call him out that way is absurd.
Yeah, and did you want to fire back at him? You can fire back at him right now if you want. I mean, do you want
to? I don't need to fire back. I'm going to let my play on the field do the talking.
Okay. NFL Films had you mic'd up or had sound after the game and caught you saying to Russell Wilson, go get yourself a ring, baby. It's been a hard thing for you to say, but was it important for you to say that to Russell before the game was over?
Yeah, it was something that was very difficult to say, especially after the way that game ended. But I respect him. He's a great player. He's done a lot of great things. And to me, I feel like that's the right thing to do, to wish him luck.
Yeah, okay. In fact, speaking of which, and I saw you did an interview on this earlier today, there was this thing on the internet where they compared Russell Wilson's Instagram versus Colin Kaepernick's. And he's laughing. They tried to make Russell Wilson into a modern-day saint. And you are just the worst guy ever, right? Who only cares about
bling. He's like the Wolf of Wall Street
himself,
over here.
Right.
Yeah, the decadence.
So you saw that apparently, huh?
Yes.
What'd you think?
To me, you can skew a lot of things to make them look however you want. If you're really going to do a comparison like that, compare everything. Don't pick and choose what you want to make it look a certain way.
Right.
All right. Which leads me as a chance to ask you about this, because we didn't have you during the season, is at the start of the year, I think Fox did a feature on your work at Camp Taylor. It was a really touching piece. It really affected me because it talked about your belief that your entire, like all the fortune and love you've gotten in your life came because of the misfortune your parents had earlier. They lost two children to heart defects.
Yes.
It's something you carried with you so long that when you got some money from the NFL, you turned around and gave that to these kids. Can you just explain this whole thing for people who might have missed the piece and why it was so important to you?
Yeah, my parents had lost two kids to congenital heart defects at a very young age. And ultimately, that was the reason they decided to adopt a child, which was me. So for me to be adopted and have the fortune of having a great family and having them support me the way they do, ultimately, I feel like that has come because of their misfortune. And to me, supporting Camp Taylor and being involved with them is my way of trying to show them that I can't say I understand what you've been through, but I'm trying to show you that it's something that I recognize and I want to try to support and be there for as much as I can, even though it's something that happened a long time ago.
Yeah. Very heavy stuff, very poignant. Will you continue to work with that camp and those kids?
Yes, it's something I'm continuing to work with. We have a annual golf tournament that we're working on now that all the money raised goes to the camp to get more kids into their camp that ultimately helps them understand what their heart defect is and how to deal with it and be around other kids that have it so they don't feel like they're the only one out there with that.
Awesome. Colin Kaepernick, a couple more minutes with him here on Radio Row. Kind enough. By the way, KNBR listeners out there in the Bay Area, he's not doing a tour. He's just doing this for you guys. So appreciate this hit we have. He's going to sneak
We're going to get him out the door, actually. Yeah. We're going to, like, smuggle him right back out of here because you don't want to get any part of this, like, sea of sharks in here.
No, okay. We're going to slide right
out
the side.
We're
going to ask anything we want. You're in your last year of your contract coming up, and everybody wants to know, are you eager to negotiate a new deal before the 2014 season starts?
To me, that's not something I'm worried about. I'm going to let my agents worry about that. To me, I'm trying to focus on what I need to do to get ready for next season and improve myself so I can help improve this offense and ultimately help win a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this then. Would you tell your agents, hey, listen, I'd like to, you know, be rewarded for my talents and my skills and my value to the team? That's important. I'm rewarded for my value. At the same time, is it important that you keep in mind that you have to assemble a 53-man roster to win? In other words, is that something that you would say, like, I'm willing to work with the 49ers to not take all the money so that we can have a more complete roster, or do you feel like you should get what you deserve?
I think it's a balance of you want to be paid fairly for what you feel like you're doing in comparison to your peers. But at the same time, you have to realize that if we want to get Anquan Boldin back, if we want Dante Whitner to come back, we're going to have to make moves to get them back, and there has to be room for everyone. And that's something that I'm going to let my agent in the organization try to figure out, but hopefully it's a position where we can assemble the best team that we need.
There you go.
Last couple questions. One, Joe Montana came out in USA Today and said he needs to become a better pocket passer. Well, heck, we all have things we need to work on. I'm sure you feel like you need to improve every day of your life. It seems like you're the kind of guy you are. Is pocket passing your number one priority in the offseason?
Well, I think pocket passing is something that is overlooked as far as what I do in the pocket. I think people see me run around, they see me throw on the run, they see me run downfield, and that's just what he does. But when you step up in the pocket and make a normal throw, it gets overlooked because you're not running around. And to me, it's something that, yes, you want to get better at that. I want to get better at throwing on the run. I want to get better at going through progressions quicker. You want to get better at everything, but I don't think that's something that specifically is being addressed.
Okay. Last couple questions here. Brandon Jacobs said some harsh stuff about your head coach. It was kind of unfortunate. I'm wondering, what would you say to the people out there what it's like to play for Jim Harbaugh and your relationship with Jim Harbaugh?
I think I have a great relationship with Coach Harbaugh. He is a maniac. He has some unorthodox ways, but ultimately he's going to do everything he can to try to put this team and this organization in a position to win. And not on just a week-to-week basis, but to win championships. And I think that's why we've been successful the last 3 years, is because he's going to go through every detail and try to find a way to get an edge on the opponent.
We've laughed about maybe when you take a break from film study. Have you ever looked at some of his sideline tantrums?
Oh, man. The game in Carolina, he was running down the field on that play. You hit Vernon in the corner of the end zone. Have you seen that one photo of him actually on the field?
Yeah.
I passed the hash marks.
A few of the players have had discussions with him about it, so it's something that we recognize too.
And like you said, he's so unorthodox and maniac. We've been joking on our show about him. He brought back the high five, kind of the forgotten art of the high five. Yeah. Were you guys like, wait a minute, what the heck is he doing? High fives? Yeah. You guys are doing high fives around the locker room. Was that fun or was it a little goofy?
It started off as something that was a little awkward and goofy, but it turned into just something we did, and that's kind of what. That's the type of coach he is. He's going to take something that might not be normal, and he's going to have the players buy into it and make it something that we do and we're going to be good at.
And then finally, Paul, we have the New York Post here.
This is being in New York. This is what you get when you're in New York City.
You might not even have seen this, but you're
out with your friends downtown having a couple of drinks. In New York City, man, they got Snoops everywhere with notepads, and they're like logging your every move. So, do you care that like you're out having drinks with your friends? They'd say where, what time it was, what hat you were wearing.
Detail.
Like, does that bother you? Are you glad you don't have to deal with that as much out in the Bay Area? Could you deal with it here if you had to?
To me, it's a little bit crazy that people really want to know your every move, but if that's what makes you happy, if that's what you need to do, go right ahead. I'm going to keep living my life the way
good,
I have been.
Good.
All right. Well, we know you're having fun here in New York and relaxing like you should after a hard year, but when is the Colin Kaepernick, because we know about your work ethic, when do you get back to work?
Monday.
Okay. Good man.
What's the plan? Are you going to stay, I mean, are you going off to a training center somewhere? Or?
Yeah, heading down to Miami, going to a place that actually Frank Gore and Anquan have recommended to me. So I'll be down there this offseason.
Are you going to be hanging with Frank a little bit in the off time, downtime?
Yeah, we're going to get some work in, try to see if we can get this thing going for
next
year.
What a character he is, huh? I mean, yeah.
Love Frank.
You can just listen to him and learn, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Monday in Miami, back working out, huh?
Yes.
Early in the morning?
7 a.m., I think it is.
Oh, my
God.
Okay.
That'll
work. There you go.
Yeah.
Colin, hey, listen, every time we talk to you, we enjoy it. We hope our listeners do, too. We want to thank you for making time for KMBR 680 in San Francisco and the Murphy Mac Show. We really do appreciate it.
Yep.
Oh, greatly appreciate you having me on.
No, you didn't have to do it, so thank you for doing it.
Thank you.